to info@diversityfund.org. Upcoming info session dates and recordings are accessible online at www.diversityfund.org. The phone number for further information is 202-743-0130. That's 202-743-0130.
Welcome to The Collision.
The Collision, where sports and politics smash. Thursdays at 10 a.m. and on iTunes and Google Play. WPFW, Washington, D.C.
Today is a special day for us. We are marking the 33rd anniversary of To Heal DC, which started March 23rd, 1992, with the host at that point in time was Michelle Tingling Clements. I was the producer, and we're thankful to be here with you for so many decades. And we are excited about our show today. For most of the hour, we will be hearing from Harriet's Wildest Dreams, one of the great conductors, Frankie, and I'm going to introduce Frankie in a moment. Harriet's Wildest Dreams chose that intro song, We Were Here, and certainly Harriet's Wildest Dreams is making a strong statement that will, great organizing that will not be forgotten anytime soon. I want to just mention, of course, we're still in International Women's Month, and I wanted to note people who may not know or remember that one of the starting things that started International Women's Day was early in the 1900s with something called the Uprising of 20,000 Women in New York City, garment workers who went out on strike because of poor working conditions and, of course, poor wages. And the number grew to 30,000 women. That started in September and it ended in February 1910. Unfortunately, the next year, 1911, on March 26, was the Triangle Shirtwaist Fire, where some of the women who were out on strike were killed, 148 women, again, due to poor working conditions. And of course, today, in this year, we have this new crazy person who is doing away with a lot of the safety and health protections. But with that said, we are thrilled to have with us Frankie. And I want to introduce Frankie. And later, let me just also mention later on in the show, we're going to end the show with poet Janari. And then we have Dr. Watkins, a special hour with Dr. Watkins at 11. But I'm extremely excited and thankful to have Frankie join us. Frankie, welcome. And let people know, those people who may not know, what Harriet's Wildest Dreams is.
Good morning, Joni. it's always wonderful to be on with the WPFW family. And, you know, the work that y'all do is amazing. And for so many decades being on air, I'm just honored to be here with you today, Joni. So thank you so much.
And we're honored. I'm honored to have you.
yes. But yes, my name is Frankie. I'm the program manager at Harriet's Wildest Dreams. For those listening who may not know, Harriet's Wildest Dreams is a Black abolitionist defense hub. And what that means and what that looks like is a lot of different things. It looks like mass mobilization. So if you see us in the streets doing protests, it looks like police accountability. So if you see cops in your neighborhood, around the city, and they are doing things that are egregious, we strive to hold the police accountable. It also means that we don't believe in police and prisons. We believe that there is a version of the world where we don't need these types of systems that are going to subjugate us, these types of systems that were created in order to oppress Black people. We think that they need to be abolished. Our work also looks like court watching and court support. We watch the courts every single week, so that we can hold judges accountable, so that we can hold prosecutors accountable. And of course, we're always striving to learn and unlearn. And so a huge part of our work is political education, making sure that our people know and understand current policy, that they know and understand what's happening in the world around them and how it's going to impact their day-to-day lives. And so when we say abolitionist community defense, it looks like all of those things.
And again, we are so proud and so thankful for Harriet's Wildest Dreams. And Frankie's going to go through a number of different topics this morning, talk about what's happening with the DC budget, the eviction defense efforts, people's response campaign to all these things, and more. And again, I'm so thankful to have Frankie here with us. Nene Taylor, who many of you may know, is also the executive director of Harriet's Wildest Dreams, and they have a team of sisters, mostly young sisters east of the river, who are out there in the streets. And it's very inspiring to see and know about them. So, Frankie, do you want to start with the DC budget or the eviction, your eviction defense efforts, whatever you like?
Yeah, let's start with evictions. As I mentioned earlier, we have a court watching program. And over the last several months, Joni, since last year, we have started to watch landlord-tenant court because it's connected. The criminal legal court is connected to tenant courts, because when we make sure that people are housed and we make sure that people have the things that they need in order to survive, it reduces your exposure to the criminal legal system. It reduces your exposure to the carceral system. And so looking at some of those preventative measures, we're working with different organizations, specifically housing organizations across the landscape, to watch these landlord-tenant cases. And so what we did last week was we held a Keep DC Housed Eviction Defense Know Your Rights training. We had roughly 35, 50 people on. And wow. What made it so beautiful is that we started with the history of DC housing and how built into a lot of that, baked into that, were these things called racial covenants, meaning written into the deed of a lot of these places in DC was the fact that if you were Black, you could not live there. If you were a person of color, those houses could not be sold to you. You weren't able to live in those neighborhoods. And we see a through line from places in DC where Black folks specifically were blocked out of, up to modern day displacement and gentrification and the way that people are being pushed out of the city. So when we say keep DC housed, we want to make sure that people have all the tools that they need so they are not getting evicted from their houses. Know that, you know, as a tenant, you have a right to stay in your house, and always, if I can leave folks with anything, always go to your hearing, because if you don't go to your hearing, then they will automatically make a judgment on the side of the landlord. And we know that when we're talking about landlords, we're not talking about individual people. We're talking about these huge corporations who may have hundreds, thousands of residents and people that they are exploiting. You know, housing should be a human right, but we're wrapped up in this system where that is not the case. And so we want to make sure that people know their rights.
And thank you so much, Frankie, for that work. And as people know, it's kind of obvious, or this show started out talking about healthcare, but you can't separate the need to be housed with your health. So all these things are linked together. Frankie, if there are any listeners that are having some in D.C. that are having a major issue with their landlord, with housing, is there any suggestion you can give for context?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So if you are facing eviction, you can get in contact with LT Land, which is the Landlord Tenant Legal Assistance Network. They have an intake form online. They also have a phone number, but it's LTLAN, LTLAN, Landlord Tenant Assistance Network. Also, there's an organization called Rising for Justice. They can provide you with a lawyer, because under the criminal legal side, everybody has a right to a lawyer. On the landlord-tenant side, it is not constitutional that you have to be provided with a lawyer for a civil case. So it's really important that, you know, when you're going through civil court, that you're looking out for those resources. We know that you'll be provided with one if you have a criminal legal case, but it's not the same for civil cases.
And if people want to get in touch with Rising for Justice,
yes, Rising for Justice. You can look them up online. But also, they have an office that's downtown and actually inside of the court building as well. Their number is 202-638-4798, and that's Rising for Justice. You can also look them up online.
Okay, and again, that's 202-638-4798. Rising for Justice is what we all need to be doing right now. So, you know, we really thank Harriet's Wildest Dreams for this critical work that you're doing each and every day out in the streets. And also, Harriet's Wildest Dreams believes in rest as revolutionary. And that's another thing I love about you all. But let's keep rolling into the next topic. Do you want to jump into the situation with the DC budget and the still pending $1 billion?
Let's talk about Free DC, Joni. Let's talk about so I don't know if y'all have heard the buzz about Free DC, but Free DC is a project, is a campaign that's happening to mobilize 24,000 people in DC so that we are in a posture so we can fight back. There's evidence that shows that you only need 3.5% of a population in order to fight back against authoritarian rule. And 24,000 is that 3.5% of the 700,000 people who live here. Free DC, last week, we were at the Senate. Every day of the week, we were talking to our senators about voting no on what's called cloture and the continuing resolution. What this would have done was taken $1.1 billion of DC tax money. We're talking about not federal government money, not money that they had any control over giving us, but money that was raised from our own taxes. And it would have made it so that that money was taken from our budget. Significantly, $400 million would have come from DC schools, from DC children. Mm. So we already know that a lot of our schools are under-resourced. A lot of our students, many of our students do face academic neglect, and we just couldn't afford, Joni, to have more money taken away from our DC future, our DC children. So what did we do? We went up there and we talked to almost every senator in that, between those three buildings. We talked to everyone.
Wow.
And we stayed in their office. Vote no on cloture. Vote no, because we want to be able to keep our DC tax dollars. And so it was two things that happened. The Senate did vote yes on cloture in order.
And what does the word cloture mean?
Cloture is cloture is a threshold that they need in order to hold the vote. And so they needed 60 votes within the Senate to proceed then to vote on the continuing resolution. I know that it sounds really messy, but just know what we wanted them to do was vote no on that until we got the money restored. So let me tell you what actually ended up happening. So what happened was they voted yes on cloture, which means they continue with the resolution. They averted a government shutdown. However, there was another bill that was introduced to make sure that we were able to keep our DC funding, to keep our DC tax dollars. So although they didn't vote the way we wanted to, there were provisions that were set aside to make sure DC kept their money. Now, we're only halfway through the fight, Joni, because it passed through the Senate unanimously because of all the work that we did. We're talking about, I think at the end of the day, we had between 500 and 700 DC residents show up at those Senate office buildings throughout the week. A massive show of force and show that, you know, we believe in DC autonomy. Congress needs to stay out of our business. We, the people of DC, should be able to make the decisions about what happens with where we live, our families, our city, our children. So that's half the battle right there, Joni. The other half is it still has to pass the House. So we have this bill that's presented. It passed unanimously on the Senate side. But now we need the community's help. We need we need DC constituents to stand up and say, no, actually, we want this bill to go all the way. And so there are going to be office visits happening this week. On Tuesday, we're going to be at the Rayburn House office building. And on Thursday, we're going to be back there again. And so if anybody listening is interested in getting involved with the efforts for home rule and DC autonomy, you can go to freedcproject.org. freedcproject.org. Because I said earlier,
and let me just say, you know, we here on this show have an imaginary drum roll. Are we going to play that drum roll for you today? Because I'm getting emotional here, but I saw the pictures on Facebook and social media of you guys were really out there every day, hundreds of people. So I want the listeners to really take this in and how thankful we all are for you, for Harriet's Wildest Dreams, Free DC, and all the people who were out there last week, each and every day. So as you're saying, the fight is not over. It's continuing this week. You're going to be at the Rayburn at Tuesday and Thursday. And I think I saw a special meeting Wednesday night with Free DC.
Yes, absolutely. If folks want to learn more about what the Free DC campaign is, there's going to be a virtual virtual campaign orientation on Wednesday. And you can find that same information at freedcproject.org. And the thing about this, Joni, is yes, we fight, and when we fight, we win. And we also have to send our joy, right? We mm-hmm. have to balance the work that we're doing with joy. And so on Saturday, March 29th, there's going to be a community art build. And we also invite folks to come out and be in community with one another. Make art. Get to know your neighbors. The thing about this Free DC project is that there's so many avenues and ways to get involved. You can grab a bunch of your neighbors and y'all can have a house party. You know, there's just so much in different ways that folks can be involved as we're building towards that 24,000. So yes, come out on Wednesday, y'all. It is virtual. So log in on Wednesday. And then hopefully we'll see some folks tomorrow. And then there's an opportunity to get involved on Saturday for the art build.
Yes. And Frankie, again, we thank you because, of course, you're representing thousands of us who cannot come out for one reason or another. I was unable to come last week, but I hope to be there this week. And talk a little bit about that community art build. I think I know some of the artists, but who are going to be there. But you share what's going to actually happen on Saturday and where it is and yeah. stuff like that.
It's Saturday, March 29th. It's from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. And it's going to be at 1908 North Capitol Street. And so when we say art build, we mean we're going to be painting banners, printing posters. We'll be doing screen printing, zine making, and bring out the family. You know, kids love to do art. This is a beautiful way to get to know your neighbors, but we're going to be making art that is specific to the campaign. And come and learn a new skill. If you don't know what a zine is, or if you've never done screen printing, this is a great way for folks to get involved.
Absolutely. And then again, that's 1908 North Capitol. Is that Northwest or?
1908 North Capitol Street, St. Martin of Tours.
Okay.
That's the name of the.
Yes. And I believe, I'm not sure, but I believe my friend Amber Robles Gordon may be their artist, and some of the great artists will be there working together with everybody. So that's going to be a very healing event. I know you have more to share. Is this you mentioned to me something about the People's Response Campaign? Does that come under the umbrella of what you were mentioning, or is that
so different? That is definitely. That's something that is HWD specific, Heritage Stream specific, that we've been working on. So the People's mm-hmm. Response Campaign is a national campaign where we are trying to, the goal of that particular campaign is to get a trauma-informed and public health approach to crisis response. What that means is if a person is going through a mental health crisis, Joni, what we mm-hmm. want is for those people who are trained in de-escalation of mental health response, someone who can see what those triggers are, to show up to the scene first. We don't want cops with badges and guns to show up and escalate these situations where we know our community members could make it home safely if they had the proper personnel showing up at the scene. And so HWD, along with dozens of organizations around the country, have introduced a resolution. And right now, our resolution has just been introduced to council. Shout us out. Woo-woo. We worked with Christina Henderson's office to get this resolution drafted up, which essentially says it is a sense of council that we are going to use a public health approach to crisis response. We are going to advertise 988. We are going to divert more calls from 911 to 988 to make sure that when our loved ones, when our DC community folks are going through crisis, that they are not met with escalating force, but they are met with trauma-informed individuals who can then de-escalate that. So the hearing for that is going to be on March 31st. If you are interested in supporting us, if you have a story about maybe a friend or a cousin or your own mental health crisis that you'd like to come and share and tell the council why this is important, we invite you to come to the hearing. It's on March 31st. The way that you can also get involved with that is you can email me. That's probably the best thing to do. Email me, Frankie@HarrietsDreams.org. And also keep a lookout for our Mobilize. That's where we put all of our events. If you want to know what's going on in our sphere, you can go to mobilize.us/HWD. I'll say that again, mobilize.us/HWD to get involved with that. So lots of good policy things happening on this side, Joni, and definitely ways that people can get involved.
Absolutely. And let me just add, you know, people can go to that Mobilize not only to get the information, but to be inspired. Inspired that even if you can't be out there, these sisters are out there every day, and you know, they have our backs. And we're very thankful for Harriet's Wildest Dreams, Frankie. I'm sorry, keep going what you were saying.
Yeah, and I also wanted to share, so it's March, and that means we are gearing up the planning for our Black Mama Bailout. Every single year around Mother's Day, we bail out Black mothers so that they can be with their children. When a Black mother is incarcerated, it impacts whole communities. It impacts whole family lines. It impacts more than just the person who is being held. And so we want to ensure this Mother's Day, and this is in the greater Washington area, not just in DC. I know for Black Mama Bailout, we've gone as far as, I want to say, like the deepest parts of Maryland to make sure that we are bailing Black mamas out. And they're not only just bailing them out, but staying in relationship and sustained support for years to come. Our sister organization, Life After Release, and one of our co-founders, Kiana Johnson, she holds it down for Black Mama Bailout every single year. And this year is going to be no different. There will be a Mommy and Me sneaker ball. We'll be bailing out Black moms, and we need your support. So you guys can follow us at HarrietsDreams.org. I'm sorry. Y'all can follow us at Harriet's Dreams on all social media platforms. You can also go to our website, HarrietsDreams.org, to find out more about the Black Mama Bailout.
Okay, you're listening to WPFW 89.3 FM. This is me, Joni, with Two Heel DC. Chuck Hicks is listening. He's been our co-host for about 10 years now, so we thank Chuck always, and we're so delighted to have Harriet's Wildest Dreams as our main focus this morning with Frankie. In about 10 minutes, we're going to jump to hear our beautiful D.C. poet, Janari. But we're happy to be having Frankie with us for at least 10 more minutes. And Frankie, I just want to jump back for a moment to that 988 number. Mm-hmm. Some listeners may think of that as the number that we've been told to call around suicide issues. But you are saying, and it's the fact that that 988 number, again, explain what it's for. It's not only for suicide.
No, that 988 is for any mental health crisis, for any crisis. And that's why we are really pushing for council to publicize it as such. We know that, especially in these times of late stage capitalism, where folks are just trying to, you know, they're just trying to tread water. We know that the general crisis of mental health that is happening countrywide, and it's important that folks know what resources are out there. And so although 988 does does support people who are facing suicide, 988 is also the number to call if there is any mental health crisis that you see. And so I challenge folks, I challenge DC residents, that if you see someone having a mental health crisis before you dial 911, try 988 to get that person help and resources, because you just might save their life.
Absolutely. And let me share with you, Frankie, I'm in New York this past week, and everywhere on the subways, on the buses, on the street corners, they're promoting that 988 number. So you're and it's being promoted very mindfully and beautifully so that people really see it. So we again applaud you for lobbying the city council to do that right here in DC. is very important. We still have 10 more minutes with you. If you want to say, jump in with another issue, otherwise I'm going to ask you a question.
There is one more thing I wanted to say mm-hmm. about the evictions that I wanted people to know. Mm-hmm. So just a couple of weeks ago, Mayor Bowser proposed a piece of legislation that would essentially give landlords more rights. And it's something that we're following closely. It is in the very beginning stages, but it's something I think the general public should absolutely know about. And what this new Rental Act, that's what they're calling it, the Rental Act, some of the provisions in here are very pro-landlord. They want to change it from having 30-day notice to there being a 10-day notice for evictions. There's also a provision in there that says if you are arrested or charged with a crime near or adjacent to your place of residence, then your landlord has automatic grounds to evict you. Not in the apartment, Joni, not sitting outside on your stoop, adjacent. So there's no clear delineation of what adjacent means. And it's just another way that they're trying to take away the things that people need in order to be productive members of society. You have to have housing. You absolutely need to have housing. And they're not saying that you have to be convicted of a crime. What they're saying that either you're arrested or charged. And if we're thinking about being arrested or charged, just a week ago, there were 100 people on the lockup list on Monday, Joni. 100 people. Only 60 of those people were arraigned. That means that they caught and released, quote unquote, 40 people who never saw a day who never saw their day in court because they were no papered. So then imagine you're just minding your business outside of where you live. The police decide they want to come arrest you, and now your landlord can evict you, but you haven't been convicted of anything because there's no papers, right? And so it's there are a lot of things in this bill that are wild and very pro landlord and very pro developer, and so we're keeping an eye out for that. As we know more and as we're in the posture, to fight back, we will let y'all know how we plan to do council facing advocacy and fight back.
Yes, please let us know here at PFW. And again, this bill is being introduced by the mayor. Is that correct?
So the mayor through Phil Mendelson. Yes.
Oh wow! It was
introduced by Phil, but it was the mayor's doing.
I'm sorry, Frankie. You know, as you and I both know, that Trayon White, who many of us know and believe that he's been standing up for people in Ward 8 for you know, ever since he was a child, but definitely as a city council person. And yet Phil Mendelson was the one who led the effort to kick him off the city council for supposedly taking bribes without a trial. And yet, why is the mayor doing this? Would we, you know, she may not legally be taking a bribe, but why is she doing this for the owners of buildings and not for the people? So it's you know, it's very concerning, and we really need to stand behind you and with you as you fight this battle. This is being introduced soon.
It's already been introduced. It's called the Rebalancing Expectations Between Neighbors, Tenants, and Landlords, the Rental Act of 2025. Public safety evictions, meaning if someone has been arrested or charged with a crime, you can be evicted. The shortening of the notice period from 30 days to 10 days. They want to speed up the eviction process. And so there's a piece in there that says after you've been served with your paper, that the court date or the hearing has to be held within 45 days. Right now it's based on the calendar and what we have judges for, but they're trying to speed up the eviction process. Landlords have complained that their people are being kicked out of their houses too slowly, Joni.
Wow.
So there's a lot of stuff in this bill, and we are gearing up to fight back.
Oh, thank you. And as you may know, and we can talk about this off air, but PFW has it's possible that you could submit an editorial. This is something that all of our listeners need to know about. This is a very horrific proposal. It's very frightening. And of course, it's exactly what our so-called president would love to make sure happens. We have about five more minutes. Anything else you want to say about the fight for home rule, about this, the fight around this so-called precedent that we have? And also, if you, International Women's Month, if you have a shiro, an ancestor shiro you might like to mention. But again, we are so proud and thankful for you, Frankie, and for Harriet's wildest dreams.
Yeah. In honor of Women's History Month, Joni, I want to uplift, of course, Harriet Tubman, Ida Wells, and Ella Baker. I'm always going to come in here and say that because we do this work in the spirit of our ancestors. I'm a firm believer that, you know, you've probably heard me say this again and again. Liberation may not happen in our lifetime, but we only have our lifetime to work on it. So what are you going to do with your time? And we have picked up the mantle from our ancestor sheroes to continue this work. Ida B. Wells, particularly, the mother of journalism, she went through the South documenting, putting in pamphlets, all of the lynchings that were happening. And so when we think about our Court Watch program, it's based on that. It's based on us pulling data and making sure that people know exactly what's happening in the courts and that we're holding those judges accountable. So yes, I want to uplift Mama Ida.
And tell our listeners roughly when Ida B. Wells was living.
Oh, this was 1850s.
Mm-hmm.
Around about.
That's right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah. So those younger people may not know her. Look her up. Check her out. Very, very important. And of course, together with Harriet Tubman, which many people do know.
And we just made a trip to Cambridge, Joni, to honor Mama Harriet. She was born in Dorchester County, which is really not that far from here. It's about an hour and a half away from D.C. And every year around Mama Harriet's birthday, which is March 10th, we go and we honor her and we honor our ancestors. We honor the land. When you think about that area, there's lots of waterways, right? There's lots of trees, very dense trees. And we go to the different places around Cambridge and think about, you know, the pathways that our ancestors had to take in order for us to be free and get to where we are now. And so, yes, we give honor to Mama Harriet. And then I want to honor one more person.
Mm-hmm.
I want to honor our comrade and our new ancestor,
mm-hmm.
Anna Rondon. It was just a fierce fighter for brown liberation, for Black liberation, of whom we just laid to rest last weekend. And so be gentle with Harriet's wildest dreams as we continue to grieve, because grief is not linear. And we thank Anna for fighting here in the physical realm while she was here and continuing to watch over us from the ancestral realm.
Absolutely. And I saw a lot of what you did for this young sister, Anna, and I want to thank you. Such love and support for someone who left us way too early from cancer. So we thank you so much for what you do, Harriet's Wildest Dreams. And listeners, should we always want to encourage listeners to go out there on the Eastern Shore and check out where Harriet Tubman was born and raised. You'd be able to feel her spirit out there. Her spirit is right there in the trees and in the weeds and everything. It's quite remarkable. I want to give a shout out to, of course, to our Ernestine Tina Wyatt, Harriet's great-great-grandniece, who had a celebration of Harriet last week as well. But again, thank you so much, Frankie. Again, if people want to be in touch with Harriet's Wildest Dreams and check you out, how should they do that?
Yes, so you can, on any socials, follow us at Harriet's Dreams. To get connected with our events, you can go to mobilize.us/HWD. And just to check out everything that we're about, you can find us at harrietsdreams.org.
Yes. Thank you, Frankie. And you're welcome to stay with us as we transition now to a poet, a young poet who also is often at Harriet's Wildest Dreams events. And I think you probably consider her part of the family. And thank you so much, Frankie. But we're going to give our imaginary drum roll to poet Janari, who's going to start us out with a poem. And poet Janari is a native Washingtonian who is now living in the L.A. area. And she's going to share a poem. She arrived there right around the time, or not too far from when those fires happened. So, Janari, welcome.
Good morning, Joni. Thanks for having me.
Good morning, all the way from thousands of miles away. Yeah. You want to say a few words, or you want to jump right into your latest poem?
I'm going to introduce the poem. So okay. I'm out here living in the Altadena area that was almost completely burned down by the Eaton fire. And I wrote a poem about it because I had got here 2 months before that fire started. So this poem is called Fire. I've been writing these poems as I walk through the valleys of death. Sometimes my poems are the only things that I have left. People treat me like I got an S on my chest when I'm just a girl trying to do my best. I keep trying to do what's right, but things keep going left. I ran from the gunfire in the east. Now I'm running from wildfires in the west, and everybody looking at me like Janari was next. I've lived in 10 places in the last 8 years. I've been making a home for myself right here. I've been working through all my fears. The fires burnt up most of my new community, but my house was in the clear. My next level is near. I'm staying here. I'm becoming known as one of the best amongst my peers. I got a story to tell, and I want everyone to hear. If you hear what I've been through, you probably break down in tears. I took a look in the mirror, and I love what I see. I'm exactly who I'm supposed to be. I am me. I am called Janari. I've been here before and I'll be here again. This time I chose to fight the world with my pen. With my poetry, my presence will never end. My voice will outlast me. I'm still well known even after they tried to outcast me. I'm a victor, no longer a victim. I had to learn how to love the land around me, even if I hate the system. All that pain just left me full of wisdom. I'm from the place where either you or your dreams die. Some call it the project, some call it a project where everyone that's born immediately becomes a suspect. A lot of us are dying there. I didn't die, but my dreams did. Janari, I know you're scared to dream again because you don't want your dreams to be American, but you have to dream. I'm a great historian, but I'm not a great dreamer. Yet somehow I made it from Southeast DC all the way to Pasadena. After all that searching, I finally found a community in Altadena, a sanctuary. I just got here and almost lost it all in January. It lost a lot, but it still stands. I lost a lot, but I still stand. I'm grieving for the land. I've been grieving all my life, and now I'm even grieving where I stand. Everything still worked out, even though none of this was in the plan. I'm a Phoenix living on a Phoenix. Altadena didn't just say their community. I actually seen it.
Wow. Janari, poet Janari, native Washingtonian. So you're kind of representing us in a way out there, and that's is quite something that you were there when these fires started. How does it feel to be? It's really something. And many of you have heard, many listeners have heard your poems over the past few years. How does it feel to be out there in Altadena?
The crazy thing about it is, the wildfires is the craziest thing I've ever experienced, but being in, I feel the safest I've ever had being in Altadena, because I've been, as I said in my poem, I've lived in 10 places in the last 8 years. So I've been running around the world trying to find safety, and I've lived in a lot of places, but I never experienced what feeling safe felt like until I got to Altadena. And that was because even though these people had most of their lives burnt completely down and had to fight the fires on their own, they immediately showed up for everybody around me. Even me, I've been getting a lot of support because I've been dealing with housing insecurity a lot before I got here. But like now I have a home and I almost lost it, but now I've been getting a lot of support to help me settle in here from people who did lose their homes. So like even after losing everything, the people of Altadena still show up for each other. So I feel really safe.
Good. That's a beautiful thing to hear. That's really something. And many of us have heard your poems over the past few years. Anything else where you would like to share about, you know, the times we're in or the importance of keeping hope alive during these very challenging times? And you out there with all those fires, and yet you're able to keep your head up and your heart open.
Yeah, I would say that we are in very, very crazy times now, and what everyone needs is community. Like, I'm using Altadena as an example for what community could look like in all these places, because we all have a surplus of stuff sitting around, and we all need things. So, like, community is just mutual aid, giving what you need. I mean, taking what you need and giving what you can. So if everyone in America, or just everyone in our communities across America, like-minded communities, can just start showing up for each other, I think that we can overcome what is going on. Because what I see is happening right now is all empires fall and America is destroying itself from the inside out and from the outside in. So if we just stay the course and keep our faith, even if it's just as big as a mustard seed, I really think that we're going to make it through, because a new world is coming and some of us will be here to see it. But even if not, we should still do our part for the kids and the youth that will be left behind. So absolutely. I say community is like community, community, community. Show up for each other.
Absolutely. And even you say as a mustard, just as big as a mustard seed. And of course, we have so many ancestors to encourage us as well. And if you were here in D.C., there's something coming up in honor of Mamie Till, Emma Till's mom, Women of Courage Awards. And if you were here, I'm sure you would want to check that out.
The Emmett Till Legacy Foundation is hosting an amazing gala for Women of Courage, where they will be honoring a bunch of amazing women that have been fighting this fight for a while. It's happening on March 30th And I can't be there, but I really suggest that everyone in DC that can shows up and supports them.
Thank you. Thank you. And we look forward, Poet Janari, to your visiting. I'm sure at some point you'll be back with us physically, but you're definitely in our hearts and in our ears today. We're very thankful. And I'm also thankful that in a moment where you picked out the final song, just let me mention before we move into that song that I'm actually going to be on for a second hour at 11 o'clock with Dr. Theodore Watkins. He's going to be talking about a new health and fitness program that he's starting. So stay tuned for the 11 a.m. hour. But Janari, you suggested this song that we're going to hear in a moment. Just tell us what it is.
So this song is Rise Up by Andra Day, and I've used it a few times in my life to keep myself going. So I hope that it encourages the listeners as well.
Okay, and we're going to hear that in a moment. And I want to thank everybody who's helped with this show, including our wonderful engineer, Magic Mike, including the Harriet's Wildest Dreams crew, who are very, very inspiring young sisters. And of course, I want to thank Janari. Janari, anything you might want to say about Harriet's Wildest Dreams or where we are today, keeping up the fight?
I would like to give a shout out for Harriet's Wildest Dreams and all the work that they've been doing. It's very encouraging to see a group of women and femmes showing up for the community on the level that they have. They even showed up to support me as I had to evacuate from the fire. So not even just in DC, but as far as they can reach, they show up. So shout out to Harriet's Wildest Dreams. And also shout out to Charnel Channey, who's running for council member of DC, Ward 8 council member. I would like to send my support to her as well.
Okay, very good, Janari. And again, this is a special anniversary show today, 33rd anniversary to Heal DC. I can think of no better guest to have on today than Harriet's Wildest Dreams, represented by Frankie, and of course, all the Harriet's Wildest Dreams sisters right there with her, and of course, Janari as well. And thanks to, again, Magic Mike, thanks to Chuck Hicks, who's there, but in spirit always, and thanks to Mari, who
Welcome,
helps
Johnny.
Me. Thank you, Chuck, for hanging in there. You want to say a final word real quick?
Well, let's make it happen. Never give up, never quit.
Yes, let's make it happen. We know that a new world is possible, and on many days we can almost hear her breathing. New day is coming. And again, thanks to Magic Mike, thanks to Mari, and thanks to Crystal, all part of the To Heal DC team, and of course Chuck Hicks as well. So again, stay tuned for the next hour. Thank you very much, Janari, and let's go out with the song that Janari has chosen for us.
But I see it in you, so we gon' walk it out. Move mountains. We gon' walk it out and move mountains. And now I rise up like the waves, I rise up in spite of
The silence is a quiet, and it feels like it's getting hard to breathe. And I know you feel like dying, but I promise we'll take the world to its feet. Move, I won't dance. Bring it to its feet.
Jazz lovers, the 15th annual Washington Women in Jazz Festival is back with a weekend of performances, workshops, and jam sessions at the Penn Arts Mansion in Washington, D.C. on March 29th and 30th. From interactive workshops to concerts and late-night jams, there's something for everyone. Details at WashingtonWomenInJazz.com. WPFW, building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
Hello, WPFW. Festival season is here. You know what that means. Good events, good music, good food, good people, good weather, and the 9th annual Words, Beats, and Life Festival happening April 3rd through the 6th all over Washington, D.C. There will be DJs, concerts, poetry slams, children's activities, and a festival. Details can be found at wblinc.org/WBLFest.
Greetings. WPFW is pleased to announce the relaunch of our major donor program, now known as the Jazz and Justice Circle. If you gave $1,000 last year or so far this year, you are automatically enrolled in this cherished group of listener members, and we thank you. Benefits of your membership are at wpfwfm.org under the Support Us tab at the top of the homepage is the Jazz and Justice Circle. Interested in joining this select group? Please consider a donation of $1,000 or more online at wpfwfm.org. Your donation helps WPFW build a better world, one broadcast at a time.
Hey, this is Alvin Nedab, your host of Music Memories, and my co-host,
Deborah Nedab.
And guess what, Deborah?
What?
We're moving.
We're moving?
That's right. We're moving from Mondays, 2 a.m. to 5 a.m. till Saturdays, 2 a.m. to 5 a.m. starting next Saturday, March 22nd. And Deborah, guess what?
What?
We're going to still continue to play the best old school music of all time. So we just want you to be there. 89.3.
Do you love captivating stories about our planet and the people who protect it? The DC Environmental Film Festival returns to theaters throughout the metro area March 20th through the 29th. This year's lineup boasts over 50 programs featuring films from all over the world about issues from environmental justice to wildlife conservation and our oceans. Details at dceff.org. That's dceff.org.
African filmmaking from all corners of the continent and across the diaspora is featured at the 21st New African Film Festival, presented by AFI and Africa World Now Project at AFI Silver Theater and Cultural Center in downtown Silver Spring from March 14th to the 27th. The festival features 29 films from 19 countries, discussions with filmmakers, and more. The 2025 New African Film Festival features the diversity of new filmmaking from Africa. Tickets and full schedule at afi.com/silver. That's afi.com/silver or at 301-495-6700. That's 301-495-6700. WPFW, building a better world, one broadcast at a time.